When a speech model tells you somebody sounds sarcastic, what is it actually listening to? A team went and answered that question, and the answer isn't comfortable. Take a recording of someone saying something completely sincere. Raise the pitch by about 9%. Stretch the pauses a little and make them less regular. Change nothing else. In the worst case, about 6 in 10 sentences, the model had previously judged correctly flipped to sarcastic.
And that pitch change is smaller than the ordinary difference between two human speakers. It's about a semitone and a half.
By the end of this, you'll know what these systems have learned to hear when they judge tone of voice, and why it's the wrong thing in two different languages for two different reasons.
That matters because multimodal is doing an enormous amount of marketing work right now. If a model accepts audio, people assume it understands audio. But if you're routing customer calls by tone, flagging hostility, or checking sincerity, you're betting real decisions on that assumption. This paper gives us a specific, testable reason to think the bet is shakier than it looks.
First, let's set the expectation properly. The field already had a story about this, and it was a reasonable one.
The story was that models mostly ignore the audio. Recent work on spoken question answering found that models can handle tone of voice when tone is all they have, but give them a transcript and they basically stop listening. Other work put the voice and the words in conflict, and the models sided with the words every time. So going into this paper, you'd predict that sarcasm detection collapses into text classification. The words take over. The voice channel goes quiet.
And that prediction is wrong.
Completely wrong. The audio channel is awake. It just pushes the model in one direction.
Here's the setup. Chen and colleagues use two sarcasm datasets chosen to be about as different as possible. One has roughly 2,700 clips from Chinese televised stand-up comedy. The other has about 1,200 clips from English sitcoms. In both datasets, the split between sarcastic and sincere speech is close to 50-50. Everything is zero shot. There's no fine-tuning on this task. The researchers are testing what the models absorbed during general pre-training. They run two open Qwen Omni models under five different input conditions, letting them pull speech apart into its component pieces.
So, two languages, two very different comedic traditions, and no task-specific training. Whatever pattern appears came out of pre-training.
Three of the five conditions carry most of the story. First, text only. That's just the transcript. Second, what the paper calls bimodal. That means the transcript plus the complete audio. Third, the transcript stays the same, but the audio is low-pass filtered at 300 Hz. The filtering destroys the words. What remains is a hum that preserves the voice's melody, rhythm, and loudness.
And the researchers check that the words really are destroyed. They run speech recognition software over the filtered recordings. On clean audio, the character error rate is around 9% in English and 14% in Chinese. On the filtered audio, it jumps to 91% in English and 154% in Chinese.
154%.
That can happen because the recognizer starts inventing characters that were never there. It's hallucinating text out of a hum. So yes, the words are gone.
Now for the first result. Adding audio to the transcript does help the headline F1 score by 1 to 7 points, depending on the model and language. F1 is a combined score that rewards catching real sarcasm while also avoiding false alarms. But here's the revealing part. The filtered hum performs within a few points of the complete audio. That means nearly all the benefit from audio is coming from basic pitch, rhythm, and loudness, not from richer information in the voice.
Except that combined score hides what the model is actually doing. When the researchers separate the two kinds of error, every audio condition produces the same trade. In English, adding audio causes about 10 percentage points more false positives, sincere speech wrongly accused of being sarcastic. At the same time, it produces roughly 8 points fewer misses. In Chinese, it's about 9 points more false alarms and 10 points fewer misses.
So this isn't a clean improvement. The model is exchanging one mistake for another.
Exactly. It gets more paranoid. It misses real sarcasm a little less often, but it also starts accusing sincere speakers of mocking someone. And the paper makes a sharp point about the mechanism. Neither the transcript alone nor the audio alone produces this false alarm. It's their co-presence. The transcript establishes a literal reading of the words. The audio contributes some perceived tonal color. Then the model decides there's a mismatch, even when no mismatch is really there.
It's a smoke detector reacting to burnt toast. Adding audio didn't simply make the system more accurate, it made the system more reactive. And nobody complains that a smoke alarm is too sensitive until it's screaming over breakfast.
So if you've lost the thread, here's the central result so far. These models aren't deaf to your voice, they're listening. But what they hear makes them wrong in a specific, one-directional way. Audio pushes them toward sarcastic.
If you want every major AI paper taken apart like this, daily, that's what this channel does. Subscribe and you'll get them.
Okay, but why doesn't the extra audio just help?
Because it isn't giving the model reliable information about sarcasm. It's giving the model a cue that seems to be miswired.
And identifying that cue is the rest of the paper.
Right. This is where it gets technical, but the payoff is worth it. The researchers ask a simple question. Take all the sincere utterances the model wrongly called sarcastic. What do those clips actually sound like?
We need a little vocabulary here because how you said it can be broken into measurements.
The broad term is prosody, the pitch, loudness, and timing patterns in speech. There are three families of measurements to remember. First, pitch. That includes how high the voice is on average, how wide its pitch range is, and the shape of the pitch movement, whether it rises, falls, or moves around. Second, intensity. That's loudness, including how much the loudness changes. Third, timing. That includes the total length of the utterance, how long the speaker is silent, and how regular or irregular the pauses are. And two distinctions matter enormously. Average pitch isn't the same thing as pitch shape. And total pause time isn't the same thing as pause jitter, meaning how uneven the pauses are. In ordinary conversation, those properties blur together. In the data, they come apart. The paper's argument lives in that gap.
So when a company says its model picks up on tone, the honest follow-up is, which part of tone? Average pitch? Pitch movement? Loudness? Total silence? Irregular pauses? Those measurements don't all point in the same direction.
The researchers measure 66 acoustic properties for every clip. You don't need to remember all 66. The mental model is simple. Each recording gets an acoustic profile based on its pitch, loudness, and timing. Then the researchers compare three groups. Group 1, real sarcasm. Group 2, sincere speech the model correctly recognized as sincere. Group 3, sincere speech the model falsely labeled sarcastic.
And the question is, which group do the false alarms actually resemble?
Exactly. Imagine real sarcasm at one end of a line and correctly recognized sincere speech at the other. Now place the false alarms according to their measured acoustic properties. If those false alarms are genuinely difficult borderline cases, they should sit somewhere between the two groups.
But they don't.
They land almost on top of sincere speech. In English, the false alarms are a little more than twice as close to the sincere group as they are to real sarcasm. In Chinese, they're a little more than three times as close. The researchers also compare only the pattern of features, setting aside their overall magnitudes. By that stricter comparison, the false alarms are 7 times closer to sincere speech in English and 20 times closer in Chinese. And every individual false positive clip gets assigned to the sincere average.
That's the part that gets me. These aren't hard cases. You'd forgive a classifier for tripping over borderline material. But by the available acoustic measurements, these clips are ordinary, sincere speech.
Ordinary speech with a faint signature. Slightly elevated average pitch, and slightly irregular pauses. The researchers find that same signature in both languages and in both models.
Now we need one number-shaped idea, effect size. Here's the plain English version. Take one acoustic property. Give me one sarcastic clip and one sincere clip. Let me use only that property to guess which is which. An effect size around 0.8 means I'd usually guess correctly. An effect size around 0.2 or 0.3 means there's a real average tendency across hundreds of examples, but it's nearly useless for judging one clip at a time.
And how strong are the features triggering the false alarms?
Their effect sizes range from 0.21 to 0.38, so the model is reacting to a faint statistical tendency. Now compare that with the acoustic features that actually distinguish sarcasm in these datasets.
This is the reveal, and it differs by language. Start with Mandarin. The strongest real cue, by a large margin, is total pause duration, the amount of time the speaker spends silent. Its effect size is around 0.8, reaching 0.9 in the test split. It's the only large effect anywhere in the analysis. Sarcastic utterances are longer and contain more silence. Average pitch level doesn't even make the list.
So in Chinese, the model is looking in roughly the right areas, but reading the wrong measurements. Pauses matter, but total silence matters, while the model reacts to irregularity. Pitch matters, but the shape of the pitch contour matters, while the model reacts to average pitch level.
Right domain, wrong statistic. Then there's English. In this English dataset, real sarcasm is associated with wider swings in loudness and with lower pitch.
Lower, the opposite direction.
Lower. The model reacts to higher pitch. It's pointed backwards.
Let me check that in plain English. In Mandarin, the model notices the right general categories, pitch and pauses, but picks the wrong details inside those categories. In English, it gets the direction of pitch exactly wrong.
That's it. Two languages, two different failures.
Now put this beside the human phonetics literature. Studies of English sarcasm disagree about pitch direction. Some find that pitch rises, others find that it falls. Cantonese research shows the same disagreement. The one cue that generalizes across languages and studies is duration. Sarcastic utterances take longer.
So the human research says pitch direction is unreliable, while timing is comparatively reliable.
And the models latch onto pitch while overlooking duration. They choose the cue that human researchers can't even agree on the sign of.
The authors call what the models have learned a language-independent stereotype of expressive prosody. It's the stage version of sarcasm. Imagine an actor being told to sound sarcastic, sing-song delivery, drawn-out vowels, the eye roll you can hear. That performance is easy to recognize because it's exaggerated. But record 100 people being sarcastic in ordinary conversation, and most won't sound like that. The paper's argument is that the model learned the caricature and then went hunting for it in the wild.
I want to put one fact in your pocket because we'll need it during the skeptical section. The manipulation the researchers run next was designed using published work on acoustic cues that make human listeners hear sarcasm.
Noted. And correlation isn't enough here. Finding that false alarms tend to have higher pitch and irregular pauses doesn't prove those features caused the mistakes. So the authors run a causal test. They take a separate, non-overlapping set of utterances, fresh clips the models had already classified correctly. Then they use a standard signal processing technique that lets them alter pitch and timing independently without changing the words or the other acoustic properties. Think of two dials. One controls pitch, the other controls pauses. Turn those dials and leave everything else alone.
And they limit how far they turn them.
Right. They cap each change at the 75th percentile of what occurs naturally among real false positives. The point is to avoid making the recordings cartoonish. In Chinese, they raise pitch by 8.8%. They increase the longest pause by 27%. And they increase pause variability by 42%. In English, they use the same 8.8% pitch increase. They also stretch the existing pauses by about half again. They deliberately don't insert new pauses because that could make the audio sound unnatural. Then they check whether the speech is still intelligible. It is. The character error rate barely changes.
So the words remain understandable. Only the two suspect dials, pitch and pausing, have moved.
Now, remember what material they're testing. These are clips the model had already classified correctly. After the manipulation, the false positive rate rises to between 19 and 41% in Chinese.
In English, it rises to between 34 and 61%.
And we should be exact about what 6 in 10 means. That isn't a raw error rate on a random data set. It's a flip rate on material the model had previously gotten right. The baseline for those clips is zero mistakes by construction. Imagine taking a student's exam and selecting only the questions they answered correctly. Then you change one feature that shouldn't matter and ask again. As many as 6 in 10 correct answers become wrong.
The researchers also run the intervention backwards. They take genuine false positives and shift their prosody back toward the sincere profile. Between a third and a half of those errors disappear. Same two dials, both directions.
That's the allergy test. Remove the suspected trigger and the symptoms ease. Reintroduce it and the symptoms return. And the test is performed on fresh material, not on the examples that first created the suspicion. That experimental design is the part of this paper I'd steal.
Then comes the transfer test. The researchers take the recipe derived entirely from the Qwen model's failures and apply it, unchanged, to Gemini 3 Flash Preview. That's a closed model from a different company, with a different architecture. The intervention flips between 5 and 17% of Gemini's judgments. It also reproduces the same inflation in false alarms, about 13 percentage points in English.
So this pattern isn't confined to Qwen.
And here's the example I keep coming back to. There's a Chinese stand-up clip about the comedian being asked for directions because the comedian looks trustworthy. The researchers apply the same 8.8% pitch increase. When the model receives the complete audio, it describes the delivery in its own reasoning as light, cheerful, and amused, with a smiling quality. It answers not sarcastic, which is correct. Then the model gets a filtered version of that same manipulated recording. The words are stripped out, but the altered prosody is identical. Now it describes the delivery as strained and high-pitched, with forced laughter that sounds unnatural and mocking. And it flips to sarcastic.
Same acoustic change, different surrounding information, opposite perceptual story, and an opposite verdict.
The difference is whether the model can also hear the words. The paper's interpretation is that full speech provides a grounding context that normalizes those altered features. Remove the words, and the same prosody starts to sound like mockery. So, for these systems, a prosodic feature doesn't have one fixed meaning. The model interprets it against whatever other context is available.
That also helps explain why the false alarm appears only when text and audio are present together. The model isn't simply reading an acoustic sarcasm meter. It's constructing a story about how the voice relates to the words.
The researchers then ask where the confusion begins inside the model. They examine the model's internal audio representations, the numerical patterns produced by its audio encoder before the language model reasons about them. They find the single internal direction that best separates sincere clips from sarcastic clips. They define that direction using only those two groups. Then they place the held-out false alarms along the same direction.
And unlike the raw acoustic measurements, the internal representation is genuinely ambiguous. The false alarms land around the middle, straddling the model's boundary between sincere and sarcastic speech. That happens in all four model and language combinations.
So the ambiguity is already present in the audio encoder's representation, before the language model does anything further with the sound.
Present there, yes. But the authors are careful about causation. They can't tell whether the encoder created the ambiguity or merely inherited it, with later fusion between words and audio making it stronger. That experiment locates the confusion. It doesn't fully explain where the confusion came from.
Time for a checkpoint. Adding audio doesn't produce a simple gain in sarcasm detection. It reduces some misses, but manufactures false alarms. The sincere clips it flags are acoustically ordinary. The features triggering the mistakes are faint and off-target. Somewhat higher pitch and somewhat more irregular pauses. And when researchers add that signature to fresh recordings, they can cause the error on demand, even across model families.
Now I'm taking the fact out of my pocket. The paper never plays the manipulated audio to human listeners. That's the biggest missing control. And it isn't an objection I invented from nowhere. It comes directly from the research the authors cite. They justify manipulating pitch and duration together by pointing to two lines of human listener research. One finds that moving pitch and duration in directions associated with sarcasm helps humans identify sarcasm more accurately. The other finds that longer duration combined with altered pitch makes English listeners rate an utterance as more sarcastic.
So the manipulation was built on the premise that humans use these cues.
Yes. Then, when the models react to those same cues, the paper interprets that response as a shallow stereotype. But what if you played the exact manipulated clips to a room of people, and those people also shifted toward sarcastic? What precisely would the model be doing wrong? A human control could have answered that. It's conspicuously absent.
I'll concede that outright. That control should be in the paper. Without it, the word stereotype carries more weight than the manipulation experiment alone can support.
There's a second caveat. The manipulation measurably reduces audio quality. In English, perceptual quality drops by about 0.3 of a point. The researcher's defense is that, clip by clip, quality change doesn't correlate with intelligibility change. But that check has a limitation. If every recording suffers a similar quality drop, there may be little clip-to-clip correlation, and the quality change could still confound the result. If these models have any tendency to treat processed-sounding audio as suspicious, then some of the flip rate might mean, this sounds weird, rather than, this sounds sarcastic. And notice where the 60% peak occurs, in the condition where the audio is already a 300 Hz hum. That's the most degraded and most out-of-distribution input in the study.
What survives that objection is the result that doesn't depend on manipulated audio. The false alarms sit close to sincere speech and nowhere near real sarcasm. And the features associated with real sarcasm in these datasets aren't the features driving the model's errors. That evidence stands on its own.
It does, but there's a third caveat. The measured profile of sarcasm is shaped by the datasets themselves. Both datasets come from performative television. In stand-up especially, sarcastic lines may also be punchlines with deliberate setup pauses. So this study can't tell whether longer total pause duration is a general property of Mandarin sarcasm or a property of comic timing on a stage. And because the claim about wrong cues is defined relative to those dataset profiles, that uncertainty carries through the argument.
So let's separate the strong finding from the stronger interpretation. The paper strongly establishes that adding audio creates a directional false alarm bias, that the falsely flagged speech is acoustically much closer to sincere speech than to sarcasm, and that modest changes to pitch and pauses can causally trigger more errors.
What it doesn't establish is whether those manipulated clips would also fool human listeners, whether audio degradation explains part of the effect, or whether the corpus's strongest cues generalize beyond televised performance.
And that distinction changes the diagnosis. The earlier story was that the audio channel becomes inert when text is present. That's a capability problem. It suggests the fix is a larger or better audio encoder. This paper offers a different diagnosis. The audio channel is loud. It's just wired to the wrong feature, and it pushes almost entirely one way. That implies a different fix. And the empirical bite is that the 30 billion parameter model, with an audio encoder trained from scratch on 20 million hours, shows the same bias as the 7 billion model, sometimes more strongly.
So scaling the audio system doesn't appear to be the answer.
Back to the opening question. When a speech model says somebody sounds sarcastic, what is it hearing? In this study, it hears a voice that's a little higher and a little choppier, and it calls that mockery. Meanwhile, the cue that generalizes across languages, how long the utterance takes, goes unused. And we know that only because the researchers stopped looking at the benchmark score, asked what the model was actually responding to, and then forged that signal.
Three things to take with you. First, adding audio to a transcript didn't make these models better at sarcasm. It traded misses for false alarms, about 10 points more false positives in English.
Second, the clips the models wrongly flag are acoustically ordinary speech. They're 2 to 3 times closer to the sincere group than to real sarcasm. The trigger is elevated pitch and jittery pauses,
And in English, that's the exact opposite of how real sarcasm sounds in this corpus.
And third, raising pitch by under 9% flipped up to 6 in 10 previously correct judgments, and the effect transferred to Gemini. But nobody checked whether human listeners would have flipped too. Until someone does, stereotype is an interpretation, not a finding.
So which is it? Are these models running a broken imitation of human sarcasm perception? Or are they running a decent imitation of it, and we simply don't like seeing our own shortcut reflected back? If you work on speech systems, you probably already lean one way. Say which and why.
The full annotated version of this episode is on paperdive.ai, with every technical term tapped to define and links to the related papers grouped by theme. Quick housekeeping. The script was written by Anthropic's Claude Opus 5 and then refined by OpenAI's GPT 5.6 Sol. Finn and I are AI voices from 11 Labs. We're not affiliated with any of those companies. The paper is When Models Hear What They Expect by Yongjian Chen and their colleagues, posted August 31st, 2026. We recorded this on September 6th.
The experiment to watch for is the missing one. The first study that plays these manipulated clips to a room of human listeners. Whichever way that goes, it tells you whether the machine learned a caricature or learned us.